see, but this is part of that.
I think so, right here.
Yes. Why has Randy made, had been made some speeches?
Sir.
We had driving around.
Now, Bill,
what a project.
Mr. President, Bill, and Judge Patrick, Jim Lovell, who unfortunately can't.
I know.
The major activists in this program, both John Bob and Bill Polk, weren't able to do as much as Bill and Chad did. They had some very encouraging visits, and I think some very encouraging thoughts as to the progress we're making on the campuses, and I thought Bill and you and
good.
Jack.
Good. You know, that's my feeling, Mr. President, was that it's a very positive exchange in both directions. I visited four cities, one of which is San Diego, which is my hometown, which was slightly engineered by me, but in the four cities, as did the rest of the people, a bunch of several colleges, junior colleges, and in some cases, even a few high schools, and found that students were interested and curious, not just in the space program, which they were very interested in, but also some of the policies of the, quote, establishment, unquote, and that they wanted to understand what we were doing, and in my view, in most cases, were reasonable about the various positions taken, and were willing to listen to some of the rationale behind Vietnam, or change in priorities, or financial posture of the country. They asked good questions, and had a positive flow from back and forth where I came away with a favorable impression.
How did you sort of size the
It ranged from small little coffee sessions in Georgia, though being in a science lecture hall with about maybe 100 or 200 college students there firing questions for an hour or so. And pretty spirited.
Of course.
Kept me on my toes and quite interesting. And came away with a much better feeling about students than I had before I went.
What did you see that was different from what you expected to see?
The thing that I saw that was that particularly impressed me was that you couldn't say tell up the inner feelings of the student from his outward appearance.
Not all along here.
So we don't see right by that.
I had some of the maybe feelings about long hair and dirt, but found some of the most conservative ones, interested ones, were the raggiest looking. And as a matter of fact, as we were talking to Jeff here earlier, one of the few cases of leftist activism, if you will, during a meeting was by a guy with short, clean cut looking hair circulating in the back, whispering. One of my friends told me sort of negative thoughts about, well, it's a put up job, I don't believe it. But he.
Well, he made it, of course, but made up the part.
Farthest west I got was the University of Arizona, and the farthest east was the Trinity College in Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
many students taking the pro involvement stand as there was against. And all I had to do was stand back and referee the discussion. In some cases, they got brother or family matches. Some people who really maybe didn't want to be there, but felt that they had a great responsibility. So in general, it was an encouraging exchange.
Well, it's very hard for them to. You have to remember, too, that I think we have to remember as far as the students are concerned. They look upon Vietnam in terms just of whether we should or should not be there, but in terms of whether or not they are. Now, if the individual thinks that, well, his life is going to be disrupted, whether it's to go to Vietnam in wartime or whether it's to go to Indonesia in peacetime, he's not going to like it. He's going to prefer a policy that doesn't require that. Let's face it. I mean, nobody likes disruption in his life. Oh, of course, they'll talk about the, when we talk about the Peace Corps and all that sort of thing, their willingness to volunteer. That volunteerism has gone way down ever since get near the end of the draft. You know, they think maybe the end of the draft or all that sort of thing. That doesn't mean that all their motives are selfish. Many of them, of course, are motivated by other things. That has a lot to do with it. Then on the other side of the coin, too, I think there's a feeling that, at least my methods of my confusion, they understand. It's a terribly difficult thing to understand. It's to, we are the kind of people that either win or lose. We're the kind of people saying who's number one in the tie. And they can't realize that whether it's Korea or Vietnam, the great nation at times must take positions that aren't quite as all that clear cut. And therefore, we, at a time while we don't rally our friends as well as we might, you rally your friends only when you take a hard position going one way or another. You don't rally them by taking one, which may, shall we say, go down to the center.
This phenomenon, of course, I mean, the space program also understand where they, you know, we are number one on the moon, or that steady fall, falls about an American trait, yes, the frontier data was either crashing through or.
Yeah. Or just
fall back and settling in cities.
Accepting our views.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I went to the University of Toledo. This is the second appearance, and I found it to be a very conservative school. They told me all the bad guys were out of town.
Oh, took off. I got to Kent State.
Why should it be?
Well,
that's a working city.
There is low income government.
What was the type of accounts were made? Students lived at home
right
around the Fridays.
Right.
And but I know that they had ROTC on campus and they had a very stable college life there. Most of my discussion, although I tended to direct it in other areas, kept coming back to the space program, and the students weren't too interested in discussing the things that students are alleged to be interested in discussing. In Vietnam, for example, there was very little discussion in My Lai. And the economics and Middle East policy and that sort of thing. They just weren't very interested in the, as I attempted to direct the discussion in those areas, a very little response. I also tried to direct the discussion in the area of their educating themselves to solve the social programs when they graduated, and that didn't draw any response either. Either they didn't want to discuss it with me or they thought I was going to start preaching to them, I don't know which, but they didn't discuss that. They were very interested in the social aspects of the space program, as I said, but the discussion kept being directed back into that area, and I found that they were very uninformed about the contributions of the program and the potential and the relation of its cost to other things, and I was always favorably impressed, or I know that they seemed favorably impressed, but after we had discussed these issues that they felt the program was actually contributing and could continue to do so. But their questions were largely socially oriented toward the program. I had difficulty in getting them to discuss other things. That was my experience. I looked at one school, so you probably want to weigh my findings appropriately.
Did you talk to any faculty people?
I talked to a group of faculty people, yes.
Junior faculty members, are they younger or older?
No, sir, they were middle-aged, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think all of us can meet with the faculty independently from the students. I probably should have explained that. The groups that I talked to, brand new bearded instructor to the old dean of arts and letters.
Well, Bill, didn't you find the younger faculty almost the most militant of the whole?
They were the hardest to talk to in most cases for the younger faculty. So a couple of them have blazing eyes and stand up, but
you have complex.
I think that may well have been it. But the instructors, as I remember them, reasonably stable. Though in a couple of the social science areas, there was great concern over priorities. I remember San Diego got hit by a lady home economist who was, you guys are doing the wrong thing. And we chatted mainly about that part of our space program that relates to the applications, meteorology, communications, Earth Resource Survey. When I had done, she said, you know, maybe I'll quit telling my class that we're spending the money in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that was exactly the response I got. I think it was a result of a lack of information as opposed to being against.
Yeah.
Against what
was there. The relevancy of the space program came up in almost every campus that was there. And it came up in, how can you justify spending so much money in the space program when we have so many other problems? And I would approach it, what are the problems? We identify the problems. Do you have any idea how the space program can be applied to these problems? Now, do you have any idea how much we are spending on space program in relation to other programs? And they didn't. And when I ended up, I think I had stalwart converts to the space program.
Yeah, it doesn't, because you're convinced of
much. President, I'd take 4 minutes.
5 minutes.
Smart. They read radicals. I met students who were socially concerned. Mm-hmm. They were reasonable individuals.
Is it Vanderbilt University? Of course, you know the chance for her.
Yeah.
And I had an opportunity to discuss with one of the members of the committee, that is, one of the students that he had working for him, the commission of the campus and the bank. And knowing this ahead of time, I got the advanced tax credit.
A good deal.
And I was expecting, I particularly tried to get to talk to the students, president, student body, and I was expecting something on the order of a bond, since that's what I've seen on television. And very rational, very sensitive, and gentle individual. I spent about an hour talking with him, making listening, because I wanted to be sure, I wanted to see exactly what their feelings were. And the main expression I got from John was that, you know, he was concerned, and he was, as he expressed, a sense of frustration and almost worrying and grief over the social conditions as he saw. So after getting him to paint the picture of contemporary society as best as possible I could, I asked him how he envisions a future of society, one which he would like to see structured, how he would like to see it structured. And to paint for me a scenario of events leading up to this, roughly. And I found out that their vision of the future is completely devoid of specifics. In other words, they crave a world in which people live together harmoniously, and of course this has gone on for generations and generations. But when I tried to get him to explain to me, you know, how are you going to go about this? Start right now, October 1970, tell me, you're the president, you tell me what you do. Step one, what do you do? 2 weeks from now. Step three, 6 weeks from now. Now, bear in mind, I'm not going to hold you into account of anything, but paint for me this picture. Did you see it developing? Assuming everything goes successfully. It turns out it's very difficult. Now, I posed this problem after I saw that the particular device worked pretty well in getting information from him. In other words, I was able to subjectively evaluate his evaluation of society. And I tried the same tack with other students, and I met informally with several groups, and on an intimate basis, I had an interview with him, I had an interview with campus editors, I spoke to a group in a physics class, and I also met with the faculty, at which time I encountered the only hostility I met at the campus, and he was a member of the Chatham Institute, by the way.
Oh,
the,
sorry,
guarantee of what the program will be like in 6 months. Really, that was the one thing. They did have a great concern over personal attainment, quite apart from what I thought. I thought, you know, it was all determined to bring out. And they're concerned about the good grades they're handed out. And well, this has been from time in a while, too. But they had specific complaints regarding teacher quality, instructional quality, and the arbitrary assessment of grades and that sort of thing. That's right. But this seemed to bear very heavily on their mind because if they got it into discussion, they would arbitrarily twist this around. And I don't know, I got sort of a feeling after a while that they had a sort of a vision of some kind of a gross return to the womb combined with group therapy type of vision. And it sort of, you know, it upset me to some degree because there was nothing definite in their view. But I also felt very encouraged in that their attitude was reasonable. Now, these people who go around and burn buildings are a very small majority. In fact, one of the individuals with whom I talked actually helped keep two rival factions from fighting at the university in Flagpole. And he stayed up all night with the radical group who was planning to burn the ROTC, and he was credited with single-handedly preventing that. And they're very well intentioned. I was very encouraged by the large number of rationally.
This minister candidate came across these a couple of my is one in particular, Iowa Western University. There's a creek running through the campus, and we drove by it, and I noted that it was sort of messy, and I thought, these kids are all that much for the environment. I'm coming in, and that's something about the creek. You can see where they walked by and chucked at McDonald's hamburger, that brochure. And so during a discussion later, this is about related to space, but looking back if you're able to measure its properties and health and the environmental issue. And we surged into a discussion on whether we're doing more about the environment. And it turns out that a week before, these kids had Earth Day or something like that, and gone out and cleaned up the creek, and one day later, they started on the bottom turn again. So,
what I tried to I had a general idea that it was like Jim and Jack said, or Bill and Jack, that the students generally have a sense of frustration. You know, we're just students, nobody listens to us.
Yeah.
And so then we have to go out and, you know, attract attention in any way that we can. And so I would try to relate programs that have occurred at other universities. One was a very successful one at the University of Utah, which they were able to, the political science department organized the students into, was able to get 100 University of Utah students elected to the state, Democratic and state Republican, as delegates to the conventions. And so I would try to relate, and you can't say that you can't, voices can't be heard within the system, because there are examples if you're willing to work within our system of having your voices heard. But you know, you find this at the University of Utah. You find a very active student government at the University of Arizona. And then you find a student government at Trinity College, which votes itself out of existence because it's ineffective.
Yeah, that's a thing to do. That was a thing
well,
to do. Yeah, that was sort of the thing.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing with this is that you University of Arizona had an active student government, but they felt a very unresponsive university administration. So I felt that if you're going to have a program with the students, you should really have a task team of experienced individuals that, you know, well-respected adults who had a career, say, in bipartisanism in administration, who could come in and develop a program, work with the administration to show, and also set up, and some students also on this task team who could come in and set up a student government. And you get into communication, because I felt that, well, and I had the same opinion at the Student Conference on National Affairs, listening to delegates from Mexico, that students, we've discussed all these issues. We've discussed this thing in student groups and adult groups and all the times, but what all we do is discuss, nobody does anything about. So we could, with a task team, you could develop a student government to communicate within the students themselves, okay? You could develop, work this task team, could work with the university, two-party system is more political than I felt that this relationship between the university, student body, and community. Because I felt that, well, I took the students to task. I said, you know, the average adult only knows what he reads in the media. And you got a radical element that goes down, burns down a building. In fact, the majority of students don't do anything about it. Don't say that they don't represent us. Don't pay any attention. That's not the University of Arizona student body. Well, if you don't go out and try to change this opinion, then the average adult in the community says that that radical element is representative of the whole student body. So there has to be action on the part of students as well. And I felt that really the way that was going to come about was to develop this communication between the university student community through a kind of a task team approach as well.
Given one day in your chair, you realize that you have to do an awful lot of discussing sometimes to get a program through and back and forth, and sometimes feel like a bit naively that you can state your problem and have it solved like that first time out.
That's the impatience.
I mean, trying to point out to them that in a real fragmented world, that sometimes it just kept Chinese water torture approach had to be applied. It's kind of working and works.
But you got to expect that they will have studies on the future for a long time. I think the major changes occurred probably not in your time. I think most of you maybe some of your time change in faculties. So what has happened? Gods and all that lecture to them. But the junior professors, everybody looks up.
problem is getting at them and changing them. And that isn't going to change over until another generation comes along. The war will be over. I've got part of it out of the way. Not all. Because you see, it comes down to the environmental kick. Now, God knows we all want to do something about the environment, you know, the dirty rivers, clean air, clean water, and so forth. But you want to remember that a lot of people are in the environmental kick for reasons that have damn little to do with the air they breathe or the water they drink. It has to do with their utter hatred of the so-called system. And they want to go back to what they think was that primitive time, which is described in Rousseau, which was not even true when he described it. That is, that if man in his primitive state has clean air and clean water, lives like a king of beings before civilization corrupts him. Man is primitive state, they eat each other. That's what they do. And they are not clean, they're filthy. Civilization does a lot for people. That's what that, they don't like this, they don't like this, because here again is the doers and the thinkers. The Wilson, who understood this perhaps better than him, gave a famous lecture one time about the men of thought and the men of action. And the men of thought are those that teach, write, and so forth. The men of action are those that go into business, politics, space, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes you have a combination of two, and that, of course, is when you have the most effective man. Difficulty at the present time, I think, is that our young generation is first, they are led by an irresponsible and, for the most part, unidealistic. Despite the fact they say they're idealistic, but in fact, second, they are exposed to an irresponsible and, by the same token, it's made up of the same people in the media, and particularly the television media, which feels exactly the same way. That doesn't mean all. There are exceptions. Now, many people run into a fault like that. Like Howard Smith, there's a boy like that, right? But you look at it night after night, and what happens to them? Impressionable kid, they sit there chewing their gum, whatever they chew, smoking pot, looking at the TV or usually the radio, the same message comes with you. What are they going to happen to them? Well, the amazing thing is that so little really has happened. When I say so little, a lot, yes. Because generally speaking, you've got to realize that our young people, they're all better, our assets, they're idealistic. They can fight great causes.
Tremendous energy.
And they have the energy, the drive, the idealism. They don't have the suckiness, the ability and selfishness, prejudices, hatreds, and so forth with older people. That's to their credit. But at the present time, what we have to do, it seems to me, is what I think, and you must feel like you've got a few institutions, you wonder how much good it does. Probably great deal. In fact, one, you never know, but that one may.
It should be the better
one. Who knows? Who knows? One good fellow that maybe never asked a question sat there. Maybe he's more than maybe one day he's worried about the space program that I think is terribly important, as I have often said. The importance of the space program. You cannot sell this, but of course, to the junior faculty types I speak of, the real importance of it is what it does for the spirit. That's the real importance, may I say, of SSP, that what it does to the spirit. Oh, I know, people say, now you're jingoistic, parents being number one and so forth. But in the history of great nations, once a nation gives up in the competition to explore the unknown, or once it accepts a position of inferiority, it ceases to be a great nation. That happened to Spain. It happened in the 20th century to the French, and later the British. Could have the United States. And that's what it's all about. And so when you look at these various things, just to the space program and the rest, whether it's the moon, whether it's Mars, or whether it's a shuttle, or who knows what it is, I don't care what it is. The main thing is we gotta go. We gotta go because we gotta find it out. And out of this year at all, space men whose extraordinary qualities will otherwise not be discovered, but more important, the spirit needs it. The country will not appreciate it. Right at the present time, the majority of people, all the polls show they're against SST, they're against the space program. They want to just sort of settle down and
up, and they want to get the police to do a better job and all that sort of thing, and they say, oh God, if we just didn't have these, all these problems over on, if the United States just didn't have the problems of the world, if we didn't have the problems of Vietnam and of Europe and the Middle East and the problem of going to space, then what a wonderful country this would be. And the answer is, it wouldn't be at all. It would be a terrible country. Because it would be a country big, fat, rich, but with no single spirit. That was the thing that they've got to understand, and that's what they don't hear from their faculty members. I used to hear it from mine years ago. There were two or three of your inspiration. Today, the faculties, you have an utterly selfish group of people who speak in idealistic terms. I mean, they're emote about the problems of the ghettos and the class and all that and the rest. As far as they're really concerned, you see, it's an utter selfishness. When an individual does not want to do something bigger than himself, he's selfish. That's what space is about. That's what SST is about. And that's what this miserable damn war is about. It's a lot bigger than ourselves. World leadership is about that. Maintaining a budget of $76 billion rather than $74 billion. That's what that's about. I mean, not cutting them six to four divisions from Europe from four to two. Sure, all these things are popular. So we took a Gallup poll of all these things, everybody said, get the hell out of the world. But we can't do it. And we don't do it, not simply because we want to be number one or anything that sort of thing. And something that's so people in a few parts of the country, thank God, few do understand that is important, that we are proud people and noble people. But it isn't national in Chicago or Los Angeles or New York or all the rest of these cesspools of intellectual incest. But the point is that deep down in the American people, there are strains of greatness. And interestingly enough, where those strains of greatness are the strongest are in the colleges like Toledo and the others. Deterioration in places like Trinity.
I like Green.
Great deterioration in places like Yale and Harvard and Cal. And for that matter, all the elite. Because what has really gone pop in this country to see are not what we call the so-called working classes. Some way or other, they still have a scratch. What has gone to pop is, unfortunately, the upper middle class. And part of the fact is they can't raise their kids themselves. They have no discipline. They've had it too easy. They look upon their themselves, they're emotionally unstable. And if this country looks to them for leadership, we're all down two. And so what we do is every night on our knees, you've got to thank God you've got a few people still left in the country. Still a majority. Not very big, but still a majority. People who have not been so corrupted. That's the kind of dash you've got to get to.
How do we turn around this kind of
situation?
How do we turn around the student majority, though, to where they... So that they disassociate themselves?
Well, I think they... I think one thing that's very important is to give them a standard. You know, one thing about them, they just want to follow something. They want to be in the act. But rather than, in other words, if some guy stops being in charge, they want to be in that charge. Where the fight is, let's go to the fire. You remember, we're all that way. She's on our going to act, whatever it is. The difficulty is the president, you've got to get some standard. You've got to have a standard. You've got to have people. And here's not a partisan standard. That the captain is doing is fine, you know, versus standard. It's more important for perhaps the standards of new idealism that has to do with such old fashioned arguments as patriotism, spirit, national spirit, national things. These are the things we've got to talk about. We've got to put it on that basis. We must put it on material. People ask me, you guys are understanding.
like places for our service. Thank you.
Yeah, very, it's very challenging. Very challenging.
Started chipping.